Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to another podcast here on confidenceandjoy.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen. Well, we've had some nice rain here in the Phoenix area the last couple of days. Actually, a little bit of hail yesterday, a little teeny tiny hail yesterday, at least in our neighborhood, but much needed rain for this area, and very thankful for that. What I'm going to share in this short podcast, I shared this material recently at our Glendale Bible Fellowship, and it's kind of personal, but I trust that me sharing this with you, a little bit about why I do it, will inspire you. There are two things that I thank God for every day. Now, when I say I thank God for, I mean specifically, consciously, every morning, deliberately going to the Father with genuine gratitude. And I want to talk about both of those things because, well, you know what? There are actually three, but even as big as the third one is, the first two are much, much greater. You know, the most popular and publicized verse in the Bible is John 3:16. And a lot of us know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I've read that verse many times, I've taught it many times, and it's just really powerful when you stop and think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Interesting, not quite as popular or publicized, the verse right before that, verse 15, says basically the same thing, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 15 says eternal life. Verse 16 says everlasting life. Same thing. That's the first thing that I thank God for every single morning. I thank God for eternal life. And I think it's very interesting that that comes up twice, verse 15 and verse 16. It repeats itself, obviously, for emphasis. Now, I know there are doubters and scoffers that come around and say, well, there have been people that have believed in Jesus and they've died. Well, that's not what those verses say. Those verses don't say that whoever believes in Jesus should not die. It says those who believe in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. You know what the word perish means? The word perish means to literally be obliterated, to be totally abolished, completely destroyed, a complete and total end. For example, what happens to flowers that you put into a vase? They look really pretty and they might smell nice, but eventually, what do? They die. And then what do you do with them? Well, you throw them in the trash. Why? Because they're going to, you know, shrivel up and just become what? Nothing. They will become obliterated, abolished, come to a complete end, gone forever, right? That's what that word perish means. Those who believe in Jesus may die, and many have through the centuries, but they will never perish, gone forever, because there's a day coming when Christ returns and those who have died will get up, meet him in the clouds, and forever be with the Lord, forever be with the Lord, eternal life. So I think it's very cool that you can read that great truth, not only in verse 16 of the third chapter of John, but also in verse 15 too. You know, as a matter of fact, the Bible's very clear that eternal life comes by what Jesus Christ did, not by what I do, not by what you do, not by what I don't do, not by what you don't do. You can also read in the Epistle of Titus, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, has promised us eternal life. You ever stop and just think about how big eternal life is? I mean, think about it. Living forever and ever and ever. How big is that? Can you tell me one thing that would be greater than to live forever and ever and ever? Can you tell me one thing that would be of more value than having eternal life? You know, you might know someone who has lived to be 100 or beyond. I know Abraham in the Bible, what does it say? He lived to be, what, 160, 165, I don't remember. Methuselah, around 996. But think about that, to live forever. You know, billions of dollars are spent every year to look younger, to feel younger, and to live longer. Billions every year. What's the price for eternal life, to live forever? I'll tell you something. That price has been paid in full. For the Christian, for the person who accepts Jesus as Lord of all men and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that you are saved. Salvation is not of works, says so in the book of Ephesians. And it also says in the book of Romans that eternal life is also a gift. Salvation's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. It is a gift to you. Say thank you. And I do every morning. Now, the second thing that I thank him for every morning, let me just read you a couple of verses from Acts chapter 13. This is when the Apostle Paul was preaching in Antioch of Pisidia, and he was at a synagogue preaching. And this is in verse 38, it says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," speaking of Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him," by Jesus Christ, "all that believe are justified," or you could say made righteous or made right in the sight of God, "from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." My goodness, what a statement he made to those people in the synagogue that day. Are you kidding me? All that believe in Jesus Christ are justified, made right according to an established legal standard. That's what that word means. It means to be made right in the eyes of God. Well, think about this. Why did they try to do all the things in the law? Well, obviously, they were trying their best to be right before God, right? This is the law. Okay, you need to do this sacrifice. You need to do this offering. You need to do this, this, this. Part of following and carrying out the details of the Mosaic law, now listen to this carefully, part of what you needed to do that was required of you if you were a Judean to carry out the law, part of what you did was sin offerings. Sin offerings. So follow this logically now. If believing in Jesus is going to make you right in God's eyes and do for you what you could never get from the law, then Jesus Christ's completed work must have settled the sin issue once and for all. You know, once and for all, you can read that in the book of Hebrews, especially in chapter 10. Go ahead and read that sometime. And a lot of people believe that Hebrews was more than likely written by the Apostle Paul, who was a great scholar who knew, you know, frontwards and backwards the Old Testament and the Old Testament law. The book of Hebrews speaks very loudly to those with a Jewish background, while the book of Romans speaks maybe a little clearer to those from Gentile background. But if you read, especially in chapter 10, you'll see over and over that Jesus Christ's death is one sacrifice for all sins forever. In other words, by his death, by him dying, by him giving his life, the price for all sins has been paid in full forever. That's why it's so fantastic that what he shared with them in Antioch of Pisidia that day, in a synagogue, no less, telling them that, look, because of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished, accept him, because, what did that verse say? It says, all them that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. See, even doing those sin offerings, it never did take away sins. It kind of covered for them, it says, but it never fully addressed and took care of the sin issue. That's why every year they come back with the, you know, the yearly offering. That's why they always had to keep offering sacrifices over and over, because those sacrifices never did take away sins. But by Jesus Christ giving his life, he paid the price, and that settled the sin issue once and for all. And that's why we have forgiveness. That's why he said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You know, it says in both Ephesians and Colossians that we have redemption and we have forgiveness. You know what the word forgiveness means in the Bible? Sometimes it's translated forgiveness. Other places it's translated remission. It basically means to release and let go. It's a releasing and letting go. It's to disregard. It's to no longer keep. It's to send it away. My goodness. Have you ever really just thought about how fantastic this is? You know, we are in that time of year now when people do focus a little bit on the sufferings and death of Jesus, hopefully maybe more than they do on the Easter Bunny. But I want to read you a verse from the Last Supper, what we refer to as the Last Supper. And a lot of things happened in the Last Supper, but I want to read you a verse where Jesus Christ specifically made reference to his death providing forgiveness of sins. And this is at the Last Supper, and I just want to read one verse. It's when he took the cup. You know, he took the cup, and he said in verse 28 of Matthew 26, "This is my blood." He was holding the cup of wine. The cup of wine didn't turn into his physical blood, but it's a figure of speech. This cup, this represents my blood. And blood is used many times in the Bible figuratively. Like when you read about the blood of Christ, it's not talking about his physical blood that came out of his body. But blood is used many times in the Bible as a figure of speech referring to life. The blood of Christ then would be the life of Christ. When he shed his blood, meaning he died, because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So he said, this, he's holding up this cup, he went, this is my blood. This represents my life. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed. My blood is shed, meaning I'm going to die for many for the remission of sins, it says in King James. That's the same word as what I read to you a few minutes ago in the book of Acts, forgiveness. I'm going to die for many for the forgiveness of sins. Eternal life is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Say thank you. I do. Every morning. Now think about it. How do you receive eternal life? Well, we don't do it of our own, do we? Salvation is a gift. It's of grace, not of works, lest anybody should boast. So how do you receive eternal life? John 3:16, whosoever believes in him. It's by believing in Christ, we receive eternal life. Forgiveness, as Paul shared with them in Antioch of Pisidia, from believing in him, because Jesus Christ paid the price for eternal life, and he paid the price for forgiveness. God gave you eternal life, and he gave you forgiveness. By accepting Jesus Christ as Lord of all men and believing that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. Yes? Yes, we are. Have we been given salvation? Yes. Have we been given redemption? Yes. Have we been made righteous? Yes, we have. Have we been given eternal life? Yes. Have we been given forgiveness? Yes, we have. Do we now work for salvation? No. Do we work for redemption? Do we work to be righteous in God's eyes? Do we work now for eternal life? No. Do we work for forgiveness? No, absolutely not. Are we supposed to offer something for our sins when we fall short? And we all fall short. We all make mistakes. We all do. But now, are we supposed to offer our sorrow for our sins in order to receive the forgiveness? Are we supposed to offer God our resolve to not ever do it again, hoping we can receive his forgiveness? Well, we've already read that we have his forgiveness. You see, the question we have to ask ourselves, is the forgiveness of our sins based on our works and what we offer to God to atone for those sins? But you see, when you read in the book of Hebrews, it's very clear over and over, one sacrifice, once and for all, one grand payment for all sins forever. So what is there left to offer? There isn't anything. There are no more offerings for sin. No more are needed for our sins. I think it's absolutely fantastic. When you stop and think about those two things, eternal life, how big is that? And forgiveness, a letting go, a sending away, a releasing it. It's gone. They're just gone. Not covered over, but gone. And so Those two things every morning. I specifically, consciously thank God for giving me eternal life and for his forgiveness of my sins. Eternal life, to live forever. And forgiveness. Boy, you know, it'd be awful to have eternal life and not have forgiveness, wouldn't it? Spend all eternity knowing your sins were not forgiven? Yeah, that'd be awful, wouldn't it? So those two things, eternal life and forgiveness, I do thank him for every morning. And the third thing that I do thank him for is life. Life today, that I woke up, that I'm alive, that I get an opportunity to live another day. I'm very thankful for that as well. Well, that's it for this podcast. If you have a comment, go ahead and leave it down below. Love to hear what's on your mind. And if you are a subscriber to this blog, then that means that you don't have to check to see if I've posted something new. You don't even have to bookmark it, because as a subscriber, I'll notify you personally every time something new is posted. It doesn't cost you anything to subscribe. It's free. If you do, then as my way of saying thanks, I'll give you a free lifetime subscription to my site, Enriching Your Life Now. There's a link with some information down below. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is Mike Verdicchio. Have a great day.